So what I would like to do this morning is I'd like to share with you to confess your faith before Yahweh. I think it's you got to really bear your heart to Him and whatever's going on in your life. In the Psalms, go to Psalm 18. In the Psalms, the psalmist, you'll never read more honest, open prayers, praise. They share their fears, their desperation, their pleas. You know, they share it all. They lay it out. They lay out their hearts before God. And it's a tremendous example to us. But it also, there are many of these psalms, and we're going to read a few here. In Psalm 18, we're going to start. But in many of these psalms, they're also confessing what they believe. And I think it's really important that we do that. You know, it's really, truly important that we have coming out of our mouth to our Father in prayer and to anybody else, but what it is that we believe of Him. And certainly the Word here says it all. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Yahweh is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. You know, when you know that God Almighty is your strength, that there you rely upon Him and upon nothing else, when you have this kind of God and you have this kind of trust to know that no matter what goes on in life, He'll be there, He'll help you, all you have to do is ask. You know, He'll be the one who defends you as well as the one who protects you. You know, He is the one we call upon. And all we can do is praise Him and love Him and share our soul and our lives. He wants fellowship with us. Verse 4 says, sorrows, the sorrows of death compass me. You know, while He's saying this, it's all coming apart. All right? While He is professing who God is and who He is and how much He trusts Him, He also is telling the Lord, hey, death is all around me. You know, it's sobering. It says, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrow of hell, the grave, compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh, and He cried unto my God, and He heard my voice out of His temple. And my cry came before Him, even unto His ears. You know, the most important thing that we want to do is, you know, when you go to God honestly and you lay out your soul, you tell Him everything that's going on. He already knows it. He already knows what's in your head. He knows what's between your ears. He knows what you don't want to say to anybody else. He knows all these things. But I think it's like super important that we humble ourselves. Hey, death has compassed me about. Everything is going to hell. But I know that when I come in prayer to you, you'll be there. You'll hear me. And then he starts talking about the greatness of Yahweh himself. Verse 7. We're in Psalm 18, verse 7. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed, and the heavens also came down. Darkness was under his feet, and the rogue upon the and he rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightning and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered. At his rebuke, Yahweh, at the blast of his breath, by his nostrils, he sent from above, and he took me and drew me out of many waters, and he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hate me, for they were too strong for me. You know, he spends... This is quite like a mind picture of God at work. God coming down, delivering, looking like his power, his majesty. There's nothing that gets in our Father's way. He's the creator of all things. And what David is doing here is he is magnifying in his mind the God who is going to work and help, deliver, and... He knows he delivered me from the strong enemy because I wasn't able to. There's a lot of humility there. You know, that it's when we bear our soul to our Father, you just bear your soul. He hears you. He hears every prayer you pray, and he knows where your head's at. Our job is to be humble before him, but to have faith in who he is, what he's doing, what he's been doing, and know that the Almighty God is always there. In our darkest hour and death all encompassed around us and everything that's going on with David right here, he knows I can go to God and he will deliver me out of the floods of this life. Verse 18 says, They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my stay. He was the strength. He was my steadfastness. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighteth in me. He delivered me because he delighteth in me. You know, you have to ask yourself the question, is God delight in you? Do you believe that? I got so many people that I've talked to, and one fellow just recently, he's an old man, but he don't believe in God at all. So he asked me the question because he knows I'm a preacher. He says, you think everybody's afraid of dying? I said, yeah. I said, some more than others. I said, I know what's going to happen after I die. What's going to happen to you? Well, it was an honest question, and it was an honest answer. But, the question is, you're asking me. I'm telling you. And, he says, nothing. It's just going to be the end. It'll be over. There's nothing after this. I said, really? And then in my mind, I knew, okay, I'm not going to pursue this anymore today. I said, I'll have another day. But I thought to myself, all right, you're 82 years old, and you're not even curious as to why someone would have faith in eternity. Now, you can do this from the point of view of, I don't need nothing. I can muscle this I can face whatever's coming my way. I don't need you. I don't need nobody. I don't need a God. I don't want to be held accountable to anybody. A lot of people got that kind of pride. I mean, it ain't going to get them anywhere. But they got that kind. It's a false power that isn't even there. It isn't even there. I remember that song Frank Sinatra did. I did it my way. It always reminds me of that phrase. No, nobody's getting out of this thing where they're not going to face Almighty God and give an account, whether in the resurrection of the just or the unjust. Nobody. He's not even going to let you die thinking that you beat him. He's going to get you up and make you stand before him again. Verse 19, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighteth in me. The Lord rewards me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. Hath he recompensed me? For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore hath Yahweh recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, in his eyesight, with the merciful thou wilt be merciful, with the upright thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down the high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. You're going to light my life. That's an expression, light my candle. You're going to light my life. Yahweh, my God, will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. David was king. He was a warrior. He was a shepherd, and he became a warrior. He became king. And leading a quiet, happy life, from the point of view of what his job was day by day. But he was faithful. He was faithful. And he was strong, and he considered that even in his dealings with what he had to do in life, and the enemies and the death and everything that was around him, that God was with him. Didn't say, oh, hey, could have sat on a beach in Florida, you know, and just relaxed. He did what he had to do in front of him. And he knew that Almighty God was with him and cared for him and watched over him and delivered him. God was his light. He lights my candle. And the Lord will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God? Who is the Almighty? Save Yahweh. For who is a rock, save our God? It is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets them upon high places. See, it's Almighty God that does everything and helps you, blesses you, provides for you, protects you. He's the one that's given you the air that you breathe. He is the one that puts the food on your table. He is the one who has done everything. To acknowledge that, to really acknowledge that is so important when you confess your faith. You got to confess your faith. What do you believe in your prayers? You got to show him your terrible side. You got to show him your heart, your depression. You know, all the things that go on. But you also got to, you are my strength, my rock. You're the one who helps me and guides me. You're my provider. You're my stay. You, Father, are the one who's there with me, and you've given me everything. You walk around knowing that your Father is with you. Otherwise, how do you walk around? You know, we don't want to be a pinball inside the machine just going with the flippers. Remember those things? The bumpers? Remember standing there, trying to get the thing to work. I don't want to be that. I want to know that as I go through my day, wake up in the morning, ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you want me to do? And I know that you'll help me do it. Whatever it is. Verse 33, he makes my feet like hinds' feet, like deer's feet, and sets me upon my high places. You know, whether this is, the hind is a mountain deer. You ever watch these guys? Maybe you look it up sometime on YouTube where you can see that these animals, they're standing on a cliff that's like, there's nothing there. And they're standing there, licking the rocks, just to get the salt off of it. You know, he sets your feet sure. He sets your feet in life. He will set them sure. He teacheth my hands to war, so that the bow of steel is broken in my arm. He'll teach you whatever it is. And like I said, David's profession was being a warrior. And he was a great one. But God is the one who teaches his men to war. God is the one who's taught it all. Thou hast also given me the shield of my salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet do not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them never, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise, and they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies, and that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto Yahweh, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the winds, and I did cast them out as dirt in the street. Thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me, and the strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their closed places. And Yahweh liveth, and blessed be the rock. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Yeah, you know, we love to make songs out of all these things. But look at David is bearing his soul. He's got death all around him, the battle, but he knows how powerful his God is. He knows he will hear his prayer, and he knows that the ability that he has is the ability that God has given him, the strength that God has given him. He confesses it even in the midst of all of this that's going on. I don't know about you, and I, you know, it's terrifying to go through stuff. It is absolutely terrifying to go through things that are, you know, they just come upon you, whether it be an accident or sickness or your children. I mean, the things that go on in life can be terrifying. You know, but in the terror, you know, he's my strength. Even though I'm experiencing all of this, he's my strength. That's the truth. And that's the confession in his prayer here. That's what he's laying out. You know, it's not, oh, it's all going to be okay. Well, he says it in a much different way. You are my deliverer. The reason it's going to be whatever it's going to be in the future is because of you, my God. Because of you, not because of anything else. And I believe some of these verses can be attributed to Jesus Christ and the kingdom to come, where all these strangers and unbelievers will obey me. Now, because it's going to get here in the last couple verses, to bring that to your attention. So verse 48, he delivered me from my enemies. Yea, thou lifted me up above those that rise against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent men. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forever. To his seed forever. That's why I believe a lot of this the Lord Jesus Christ could pray also. Go to Psalm 27. Again, we are to confess our faith before our God. You know, And you can read a psalm, like the Psalms. You can read all of these prayers, these songs, and you can see the elements. The elements are so clear, but the honesty, the humility, let me tell you exactly what's going on here. Or let me tell you exactly what I believe. Let me tell you, oh Lord, how great you are. These are all things that you can see, but these are all words that come from the heart of the individual, and they're confessing their thinking, their faith, their love to God Almighty. Even in their defeat, they come to him, knowing that he's there. 27th Psalm, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is my strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When you and I have a relationship with Almighty God, that is, we believe his word, we trust in him, we've proven our faith, we've proven in our walk that he's always with us. We know he's with us. You don't start out with that on day one. On day one, you say, are you my light and my salvation? Is there a God who will be? That's how I was. I didn't know any of these verses. I never heard any of these things. I heard that, you know, if you sin, God will whack you. Boom. He's got a baseball bat up, just waiting to make your life miserable. All you got to do is do it wrong. Go ahead. That's not the God of the Bible, though. That is not the God. If you read the Bible, you learn. If you never read the Bible, you got nothing but imagination and fairy tales and lies. You know, and it's only what you get out of the scripture that gives you the truth. And then you learn as you walk. You learn, hey, he heard my prayer. He answered it. The love that I've never had before. You know, your faith builds. And you start to realize who this God is. And then you get to the place that you can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's not arrogance. That's not an arrogance. I got nothing to fear because God is my light and my salvation. Whether I live or I die, my God is mine. And I got the victory. If I live another 10 minutes and drop, for whatever reason, no problem. I got the victory. I got eternal life. What are you going to fear? You know, it says in Hebrews that mankind has got the fear of death always before them, right? But that's not necessarily true for the believer. The believer wants to live, but they want to live for a reason. They want to live to serve. They want to live to praise the Lord. They want to live to serve him and the people that are around them, especially the family. Otherwise, you know, there's a certain place and a point where it's okay. We're done here. And it's not like I'm afraid to die. I already kind of proved that to myself. I'm afraid of none of that. I am afraid of the sorrow that I will leave behind. I'm afraid of the hurt hearts that will be of the people who love me. I mean, that's what I was concerned about. But not of dying and going into the abyss. So who are you going to be afraid of? The Lord is my strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me, and eateth up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord. This is what was most important to him. One thing have I desired of Yahweh. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. I want to know my God. I want fellowship with him, and I want a relationship with him. That's what I want. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. Round about, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle the sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, we sing, you know, Jesus Christ ran his fellowship. It gives me the example of how to run this fellowship, and all fellowships, really. You know, he ate with his guys. He served them. He taught them. He sang with them. The Last Supper, they sang hymns. They spent time together. Taught them the Bible. He taught them a lot in that last evening. And then they prayed. I mean, when you get together, I mean, all the churches, right? All the churches. There are churches have changed through the centuries. But the first century church met in the home. You know, they would come to the big places once in a while, like the temple. They would all get there and enjoy that. But they went from house to house, breaking bread, enjoying each other's company, living their lives. And they were singing songs. And the reason that you sing is you're confessing again your faith, your praise, your love, your thanksgiving. I don't know what it is about songs, but they stick with you forever. Good ones and bad ones. I don't want to get into that. But the reason you offer this to the Lord, I don't know what it is. Like I said, you remember things about it. I haven't sat down, thought this whole thing through as far as life, but it's the expression of your soul when you sing. And like when we sang here this morning, you know, my God is able. He's able. I can sing this thing through the day in the back of my heart and in my life, no matter what's going on. And I truly believe it. All right? Or blessed be the name. You know, praise him for everything that he's given to us and everything that he's done. Oh, yeah. Are they old songs? Yeah. So, song's a song. Does it profess, does it confess your faith, your praise, your belief, your thanksgiving, your gratefulness to the God of your salvation? That's why you do it. It's not a religious activity. It's an expression of the soul. Any more than music is a religious activity in the secular world. I got a lot of wonderful songs I got in my head. You know, love songs, you know, all kinds of songs. But the point is, they're in there, and then I relive them. I do. I relive these things. You know? And it brings me back to the 60s. It brings me back, you know, to times and places. And, you know, it's like our wedding song, right? Color My World. I listen to this and I remember. So I think these hymns and prayers and songs that we sing, they ought to go with us and remind us. But again, it's a confession, and that's the whole point of this teaching, is confess your faith before Yahweh. Make it real. Tell him everything. Where was I? 7? Thanks. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek you my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Yahweh, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. You know, David knows that God's got plenty of reason to be ticked off at him. He's not a fool. He's not perfect. The only perfect guy is Jesus Christ. Everybody else in this life starts out dead in trespasses and sins. And God accepts those who will confess him, confess our Lord and Savior, and believe and then do his will. So hide not your face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Wilt thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You know what? That's your relationship with the Almighty God, the Father, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is tighter than the relationship with your mother and father. They can leave you flat. But I'll tell you what, God will never, ever. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path. Because of my enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, of false witnesses, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord of Yahweh in the land of the living. I would have quit. I would have fainted. I would have quit unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, and many do quit because they don't think that God is going to be there. They don't have that locked in truth in their heart. All they do believe is fairy tales. They don't read. They don't study. You can't, my mind doesn't work that well. I can't find or read something once, and that's it for me. I'm done. I'm encouraged. I'll never have to read this again because I'm locked in. Don't work that way. If it worked that way, we would all be very bored people. You only need to learn something once, never have to practice. Right? never have to work hard, never have to discipline, never have to maintain. I have to do that mentally. I have to do that physically. All through life. I have to choose. And I have to bring my head into this every day. Because otherwise it gets away from you. All of a sudden, it doesn't just disappear. It morphs into lies and fairy tales and, you know, confessions of things that are not true. So, the Lord is my strength. Verse 7 again. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Verse 12. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, as such as breathe out cruelty. You know, you can pray these things and work. You can pray these things in the world that we live. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Wait on Yahweh. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on Yahweh. You know, this teaching comes really right after the one I did last week on courage. You get your courage from God and from his word. And this is true all throughout the scriptures. All throughout the scriptures, it's true. Go to, get close here. Go to Psalm 6. But you don't keep that courage in your heart unless you're practicing the presence of God in your life. You're talking to him. You're reading what he says. You're being absolutely honest in your life to him. You know, you can fool yourself, but you can't fool him. In the Psalm 6, this is a little different, but it's also a blunt, very honest coming to the Lord here. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Yahweh, for I am weak. O Yahweh, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul also is sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, and deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. You know, David's in a place where he knows God's got good reason to be really, really ticked at him. Think about it. I don't care what his specific sin is here, but think about your own life. Do you know that the Lord God Almighty's got a really, really good reason to be pissed at you? And if he really did deal with you after your sins or after your works, then how would you stand? You wouldn't. Because his judgments are just. All throughout the scriptures you see that when people sin, there's consequences, right? It's either they either receive the consequences in this life or they're going to stand before God later on. And I know that when I stand before God later on in my life, all right, and when it's all over and I stand before him, I know that I don't deserve anything. Do you really believe that? You don't deserve anything at all. There's no reason for him to let me into the kingdom. Because even in my trying my best, I've failed. Even in knowing the scripture, I've still sinned. Sometimes willfully. I don't think I'm alone. Oh, the preacher sins. I know the book. But you know what? My Lord and Savior died for me. When I ask for forgiveness, He forgives. I am justified by His blood. David knew that he would be justified in that day. It says that in the Psalms. It says it in Romans, I think it's chapter 4. You know, both David and Abraham knew that their sins were covered because of the coming Christ, and they believed on Him. Well, I have believed on the Christ who came, and I know that my sins are covered. And in that day when I stand before the judgment seat of God, I know even though every idle word will be read, every single idle word will be read, and I will be ashamed. But I know that my Lord will step up to the Father and say, I paid for that. I died for that. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us and brings us to Him. Not my works, not my goodness, not my anything. My salvation is based upon what's been given by my God and my Lord. And not. So when I stand and I say, hey, Lord, please don't deal with me after my sins. I've prayed that many a time in my life. But I know, because I read and I believe and I discipline myself to believe the scriptures. And I try to discipline myself to walk the scripture, to walk the word. It's not like I'm just flipping this off. And He knows it. And He knows I am weak. He knows that we are weak. My soul is sore vexed. But Thou, O Lord, how long? I need Your help. I've prayed many a day. I still pray. I've been praying for a number of many years for certain things. Years. And I know God will answer. I'm perfectly content to leave it in His hands. It's an unresolved and important issue. But I know that He will. I know that as I pray for my granddaughters, I know that long after I am dead, He will hear those prayers. I know it. But I won't stop praying it until the day I die. I may never see it, but I know it will. These are things that you just have to get dead honest before the Lord. That way you can live in peace in your own soul. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for Thy mercy's sake. And that's really what it's all about. Save me for Your sake, for Your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of Thee. In the grave, who shall give Thee thanks? I am weary with my groanings. All the night make I my bed to swim. In water, I water my couch with my tears. I am sweating, I am crying, I am pleading with You. This is not a 15-minute thing. My eyes are consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for Yahweh hath heard the voice of my weeping. If I understand this, this was when David, part of when David was being pursued by Saul. He spent 20 years being pursued night and day by an enemy and an army. He's pleading with God for deliverance. But you know where his head is at? I love these verses here. Verse 9 or verse 8. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for Yahweh hath heard the voice of my weeping. I know my God has heard my prayers. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayers. I believe that. David believes that. Year after year is going by. He's being hunted to die, living in caves. But he believes that. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. In our weakness, we know we just have to keep coming to him. You know, I know people have these things in their head. Oh, if I did this, God would never talk to me again. That's a lie. Separate the lies from the truth. Separate the lies from the truth. What's in the scripture is true. What's in your head is not necessarily true at all. Not at all. I remember just for myself, I was in 2009. I was in the hospital. I was in ICU. I think it was 2009, 2010. It was one of those years. But I had all these, everything going on. I just got through surgery. I woke up. And for the first time, I think, for the first time in all the time that I was going through stuff with my health, I started to feel sorry for myself. And I remember saying, oh, God, why? It's very bad. And I remember the tear coming down, just feeling sorry for myself, having my little pity party. And then I heard the Lord. And he started to read some of these psalms. Some of the verses that he read to me in Psalm 22. He read a number of them. I don't know how long it went on. They were none of the happy verses. They were all terrible things to go through or think about. In verse 14, this is one of the ones I remember him saying to me. And I'm hearing the scripture being read to me. And it says, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaw. And thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. And There were a few others like Psalm 28:1 and Psalm 55. These were all verses that you wouldn't necessarily quote to yourself. And then after these verses were being read, after these whole truths were, I have no idea how long it was going on. Couldn't tell you. Then the Lord said to me, very plainly, he said to me, David felt and tasted every one of these words, and he didn't quit on me. How about you? And that was it. David felt and tasted every one of those words. They were real words experienced by a real man. Jesus Christ experienced that in 22, but David also. The sufferings that you go through, the things that you'll have, you know, what is going to be your response? Are you going to confess your faith, or are you going to have a pity party? You choose. Believe the lie or believe the truth. We have to work our head to build the truth in our head and heart to such a degree that it's our default setting. That when you reset the computer, it goes back to default. When something's going on, I reset. Go back to my what I want to be my default setting. What God and His Word says, period. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.